from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
180 years of searching, and I'm 3 feet away. Of all the words written here about freedom, there's a line that's at the heart of all the others. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. People don't talk that way anymore.
Well, that's Nicolas Cage in The National Treasure, remember? And happy Friday. I'm Russ Jones, producer of Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And we are going to talk that way on this show today. And as we're just a few days away from the July 4th holiday, celebrating our nation's independence, is the U.S. on the brink of another civil war? Over the past few weeks, it's been a topic of columns and social media conversations. I don't know if you've seen it on your social media threads, but I sure have. We'll have FRC's own retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin here to discuss in just a moment. And what role do churches and institutions of faith play in the progress of Black Americans? Horace Cooper of the Black Leadership Network Project 21 says the role is huge. He'll be here later in the program to discuss. And as the immigration issue continues to rage, what's the difference between truly seeking asylum at the border versus simply attempting to immigrate illegally? Mona Osana will be here to share her story of her family fleeing Kirkuk, Iraq. She's a genocide survivor. She's now a legal U.S. citizen. I guarantee you folks, you're not going to want to miss hearing her story. And all of this great content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me at RJonesReports. And just a reminder, we're nearing the end of the Family Research Council's budget year, and we're nearing the end of the matching funds campaign. And folks, you have responded so well. Thank you so much. This is one of the last chances you're going to be able to participate in the matching fund drive. And I guarantee you, you know, I've been producing this show for almost 2 years. JP Duffy, our VP of communication, called me 2 years ago, said, Russ, can you help us out for 2 or 3 weeks? Well, it's been almost 2 years. And I can say this because I have known the work of FRC for years from an outsider perspective as a person that's been in the trenches of Christian media. And I have seen their work from that perspective. And now I can tell you I see the work from sitting in this seat behind this microphone, behind the computer, producing this show. And the work that FRC does for faith, family, and freedom is huge. It's tremendous. Give us a call today, 1-800-225-4008, 1-800-225-4008, or you can give at TonyPerkins.com. Your support is incredibly important to this program. And also another reminder, call to fall. It's this Sunday. Folks will be falling to their knees, praying for the country, praying for the nation. Well, political emotions are at a fever pitch. A number of political commentators are questioning whether or not the U.S. is on the brink of another civil war. Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Kristen Nielsen experiences at restaurants suggest, quote, a soft civil war is well underway, according to a political scientist, Thomas Schiller. And it will get worse unless we learn to stop hating one another. Well, joining us now is retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He was with the United States Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence under President George W. Bush. He was one of the original members of the U.S. Army's Delta Force and now Family Research Council's Executive Vice President. General Boykin, reporting for duty here, Lieutenant Jones, Mississippi State Guard. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, Russ. How are you?
Well, I am good. I am good. And my new role, wearing the uniform, I appreciated you before, and I appreciate your service even more now as I put on the ACUs 1 week in the month here in Mississippi. And this topic really captured my attention. The beginning of America's bloody Civil War is generally remembered as the opening shot at Fort Sumter in Charleston Harbor on April 12, 1861. We may not be there, but What do you think on this topic? Are we close, or are we a long way away from that?
Well, the country is certainly divided. I think it's more divided than it ever has been in my lifetime, to include prior to the Civil Rights Movement. I think we're divided in so many more ways than just racially. And I think when you think in terms of a civil war, you've got to think beyond the, you know, the force on force of the American Civil War. You've got to realize that we are in a soft civil war, as Sarah Huckabee Sanders has said. And I think that when you look at the fact that we have such polarization in America, and we are absolutely, we've thrown away all dignity, all honor, all custom and tradition, and we're going after each other now, primarily in the social media, but also it manifests on the streets of America, like asking Sarah not to, you know, throwing her out of a restaurant and those types of things. So I think that it's civil war by different means.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to an article in the New Yorker magazine last month, you ready for this, General? Experts estimate a 35% chance of a U.S. civil war over the next 10 to 15 years. And it's an article entitled, "Will the Fervor to Impeach Donald Trump Start a Democratic Civil War?" And you're hitting on that. That's all we hear about right now. And we talk about on this show how important elections are. And Hollywood has turned its products and award shows into platforms of resistance. We're just seeing the resistance movement at every turn. I'm not sure how you can define it in any other terms.
No, I totally agree with you. And just keep in mind that because this division is not based on geographics so much as it is on political ideology. Look, I mean, first of all, the South is fairly conservative. It still is. But you've got a much bigger country now than we did have then. And even states like Texas, which was part of the Confederacy during the Civil War, they are split. I mean, they are still predominantly conservative, but they're split. And if you go to places like Austin, what you'll find is there's an overwhelming influence there of the progressive left, the radical left. So in terms of a civil war in the traditional sense, I think it's more a matter of we've got to recognize that we are divided over political issues, many of which are social issues, others of which are economic issues, and others of which are just simply foreign policy. And that division has created, I think, a huge problem within America.
And you know, like so many of our churches that are segregated, people and communities are segregating themselves into red and blue groups. I have been unfriended by a number of friends who are Democrats, liberals, but we're good friends. I mean, we could go out and have a lunch together, get together with our families, once upon a time, agree to disagree. But now it's just changed. I had one very dear friend in D.C. that's an attorney. He said, "Russ, I gotta take a break from you. Unless you separate yourself from this administration, we just can't talk anymore." And I just think that's just sad.
Well, I think it is too, Russ. But it's a reality of what's happening in this country today. And families are just like in the Civil War of the 1860s. Families are being divided over this And you see communities being divided, and the election of Donald Trump was, I think, something that the extreme left could not contend with, and they are not willing to accept it. They don't know anything about our form of government. In most cases, they don't know anything about civics, but they certainly don't know anything about history, and they didn't get their way, and in many cases, ways, it's like a child that didn't get what he wanted for Christmas, and he goes off and, you know, stomping his feet and holding his breath. And that's what I think we're seeing with the extreme left now, is that they're still stomping their feet and holding their breath because they didn't get Hillary Clinton. And that's just because they don't understand our form of government.
Did we lose you?
No, I'm with you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, during your long military career, you've studied war. You've You've seen wars develop, and you've seen wars end. What are your thoughts just as far as what are the warning signs that we should be looking for? And on a second thought, you know, conservatives have a good understanding of the Second Amendment. And I think the left is concerned because conservatives are pretty well armed. And wasn't the original purpose of the Second Amendment to offer citizens the opportunity to avoid the type of tyrannical rule that they came to America to escape?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, a well-regulated militia being essential to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms, that's a key word, keep and bear arms. You don't have to keep them at the local armory. It's you can keep them in your home. Keep and bear arms. That wasn't about squirrel hunting. It was about being able to defend yourself and your family against tyranny, against the tyranny of an out-of-control government. Now, you stop and think about what the Obama administration did when they weaponized the federal government against the population in many ways. They had the IRS and the intelligence community doing things that were nefarious against the American population, particularly those that disagreed with them. That is what our founding fathers were afraid of, was an out-of-control, all-powerful executive branch. That is one of the reasons also that when they wrote the Constitution, they intended for the House of Representatives to be the most powerful branch among the three. It was never separate but equal. That's a term we use, but it was never separate but equal. It was supposed to be those representatives that were elected by the people to go to Washington and represent. That was supposed to be the most powerful.
And we're about out of time, but this morning on a call, we were on a call together. You mentioned Caesar Rodney, one of the original 56 signers. Just in a parting statement, why is he important to be thinking about this Independence Day?
He represents the sacrifices that have been made for this country. Caesar Rodney was the final and decisive vote to separate from the Crown of England. He rode all night in a driving rainstorm from the colony of Delaware, Kent County, Delaware, to come and cast his vote on the 2nd of July. Caesar Rodney was a sickly man. He had cancer as well as he had probably pneumonia at the time. But when he knew that the vote was tied, he rode all night to cast that vote. And what an incredible story of stamina, but more importantly, of commitment.
Yeah, I looked that up after you mentioned it this morning. He was born on his father's farm near Dover, Delaware, in October of 1728. And, you know, that's good homework, General, isn't it, for our listeners to go out and look him up. Well, you have a blessed weekend. Thank you so much for being with us on Washington Watch today.
Glad to be with you, brother.
All right, thank you. I have really come to appreciate him and his history and his experience and just what he brings to the conversation. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Well, coming up next, black churches have long been the most important institutions in the black community, and the Black Leadership Network, Project 21, it says reinvigorating them is critically important to furthering black progress. We'll talk with Horace Cooper when we return. Make sure you go to TonyPerkins.com. You like what you're hearing, we need your support. Help us to end strong. End strong. That's important. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with Washington Watch. We have our greatest opportunity to advance biblical values in our nation's capital and across America than ever before. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. For 35 years, Family Research Council has stood for human dignity. We're standing up to the cultural bullies like Planned Parenthood and the SPLC that are pushing shocking sex ed programs into our schools that is nothing short of pornographic. And we know the harms that creates. Religious freedom is being restored, but much work remains. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end on June 30th, friends of FRC have offered an amazing $800,000 matching challenge that will double the impact of your gift today. Help us complete our mission as we pursue a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Visit TonyPerkins.com to donate today or call 800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. May God bless you in your faithfulness.
You have probably heard a lot about the LGBT movement on television, in social media, in the news, and from celebrities. But do you know what is true and what is false? FRC has created a new resource that gives you the facts on LGBT issues to help you navigate the challenging topics surrounding human sexuality. We are all created in the image and likeness of God, and all people are equal in dignity and value and must be treated with respect. LGBT activists operate on a weak understanding of sexuality and ignore how scientific and empirical evidence refutes their claims. To get factual, practical answers on how to respond to the LGBT movement, go to frc.org/LGBT, where you can download this important resource free of charge. Again, go to frc.org/LGBT to learn more.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? Family Research Council is here to help with answers and insight from our experts. Our work in Washington, D.C. is to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture. We want to hear from you. Send us your questions about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church, or about any issue that FRC stands for, issues like life, marriage and family, or religious liberty. Go to frc.org/askFRC and enter Ask FRC in the subject line. We'll consider your question, and you may also have a chance to be published on our blog. Again, that address is frc.org/askFRC. Thank you for standing with us.
Well, happy Friday. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You know, about a couple of years ago, I was awakened in the middle of the night and had this dream vision. You know how you try to determine which one it was? And it was a black church south of Oxford. And I'd driven, it's out in the country, and I'd driven by this church a few times, but I was waking in the middle of the night that I needed to go introduce myself to this pastor and just say, hey, I'm thinking of you, praying for you, anything I can do for you. Because I don't know about you, I have been saddened by the notion that on Sundays that the church is one of the most segregated places on the planet. And it's not by law, but it's by choice. It's by our human choice. And that makes me grieved. I don't know about you. So I went down and I introduced myself to this pastor, and it just blew him away. And, he was shocked, and I had to make sure, look, I'm not stalking you. I'm not down here trying to create trouble. I just felt like I was supposed to come introduce you. Well, you know, the next thing I know, he invited me to come speak at his church, and my wife and I were the only white folks there, and it was quite an experience, and one that I'll never forget. Well, related to that, I wanted to bring you this story. Black leaders from Project 21 have released their recommendations for strengthening and restoring black communities' involvement in institutions of faith. And one of 10 highlighted critical issues in the group's blueprint for a better deal for black America are several different points. A 57-point plan for removing barriers that block blacks from empowerment and for ensuring they have their chance of attaining the American dream. Well, here to tell us about it is Horace Cooper. Known him for the better part of 10 years. He's senior fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research and co-chairman of the Project 21 National Advisory Board and a legal commentary. Horace, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on the program today.
Well, let's just jump in. Tell us about this new blueprint and why it's so important.
So we're really excited about this. This blueprint that we've put together is 57 great ideas about what we can do to address the problems that exist in America today. Our thesis is that Black America, like the rest of the country, hasn't done too well over the last decade, and in many instances, Black America hasn't done too well over the last 25 years. We've come up with a colorblind solution, a set of 57 policy initiatives that we believe would be great for the country. And because they would be great for the country, the people who live here, black, white, and brown, would all benefit. We looked around and we recognized that there were four basic principles that made this country, which was a breakaway colony, and transformed it into the most consequential, impactful country on the planet. Those four principles were faith, personal responsibility, limited government, family. When you apply an agenda or a vision for how people will live, if you make sure that family is central, you make sure that faith is important, if you encourage people to take responsibility for themselves and the people they care about, and you make government operate in a responsible, limited way, the sky is the limit. The problem as we see it is that along about the 60s, a bunch of very so-called smart people got together and they were able to convince America that those four principles were stale, that we didn't really need so much the family as an organizing unit, that Washington and state capitals could better manage your lives than you could locally. We didn't need to rely so much on initiative. And these principles that they employed were very, very destructive for our country. And it wasn't until Ronald Reagan became president that our first presidential leader looked around and challenged these changes. Well, we have another president in town who is wanting to challenge some of the lingering effects of the rejection of these basic four principles. In our view, we think if we adopted these four principles through these 57 policy initiatives, we would do amazing things in the black community, because we would be doing amazing things for the country.
And Horace, it's no secret the black church is pretty political. I used to publish a national Christian newspaper and was making a delivery, a matter of fact, in Wichita, Kansas, and got in the opening there in the narthex. And on the table was a picture of Barack Obama, a cross, and a black Jesus right there on the table. And I that was very interesting, and not so much the black Jesus, but the picture of President Obama. And Project 21 is recommending repealing the Johnson Amendment, which prohibits certain nonprofits such as churches from expressing opinions on candidates and banning abortions that are conducted. What do you say about that?
So a couple things. One is the Johnson Amendment has always really been a way for the government to target Christian leaders and other people of faith that were advocating what the government thought was unpopular ideas. As long as you were, quote, within the mainstream of where popular thought was, you were never affected by this. We believe that government shouldn't be in the business of rewarding or punishing people of faith, particularly church institutions, and we would much prefer that a competition of sorts occurs where the church itself activates and engages in society, and we can see what's the salt and what's not.
Well, Horace Cooper, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us here on Washington Watch. All of this information, folks, is on TonyPerkins.com. Horace Cooper, thank you so much for bringing us up to date on that.
Thank you for having me on.
All right. Horace Cooper, a very knowledgeable guy. I've known him for quite some time, and I knew he would deliver some very interesting news on that topic, and he sure did. Well, coming up next, a genocide survivor during the era of Saddam Hussein at the height of his power. Mona Hoshana is going to be here to talk about the difference between truly seeking asylum at the border versus simply attempting to immigrate illegally. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Rush Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Make sure you give us a call. Go to TonyPerkins.com and donate.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with Washington Watch. We have our greatest opportunity to advance biblical values in our nation's capital and across America than ever before. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. For 35 years, Family Research Council has stood for human dignity. We're standing up to the cultural bullies like Planned Parenthood and the SPLC that are pushing shocking sex ed programs into our schools that is nothing short of pornographic, and we know the harms that creates. Religious freedom is being restored, but much work remains. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end on June 30th, Friends of FRC have offered an amazing $800,000 matching challenge that will double the impact of your gift today. Help us complete our mission as we pursue a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Visit TonyPerkins.com to donate today or call 800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. May God bless you in your faithfulness.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? We want to hear from you. Send us a question you may have about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line for a chance to be published on our blog. Thank you for standing with us.
If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. This new anti-Semitism is disguised simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at these incidents reveal how Jewish college students are being attacked merely for believing that Israel should exist. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
Round in third, heading towards home. This is Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Well, President Trump's zero-tolerance immigration policy and his efforts to build a wall, enhance border security, has the left absolutely in major meltdown. And I think there's a relation to the discussion we had with General Boykin about this soft civil war of ideas that's going on in our country. And one element of the immigration debate is understanding the difference between those truly seeking asylum at the border versus simply attempting to immigrate illegally. Well, joining us now is Mona Oshana. She's author and host of the Mona Kay Show, the voice of survivors. It's a radio program airing in Arizona. She was born in Kirkuk, Iraq. Her family escaped genocide under the Saddam Hussein regime, immigrated to the U.S. in 1977. She says, leaving her homeland was not by choice, but by force. Mona, welcome to Washington Watch.
Russ, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for having me on the program.
Well, it's great to have you here. I wanted folks to hear your story and your thoughts here. And before we get into the immigration issue, just share with us what you faced with your family there that led your family to seek refuge here in the United States.
It's very important that people understand, and we always have to say that when we're speaking about where we come from. We are of the nation called Assyrians, and Assyrians as a whole, as a nation, are Christians. We are Christians from the Middle East, from the greater Mesopotamian area. We lived in Iraq under the ruthless regime of, I think many will remember, the dictator by the name of Saddam Hussein, otherwise known as the Butcher of Baghdad. Under the Ba'ath party, which was a socialist party that slowly but surely constricted and took the life out of all Iraqis, but most specifically the Christians who were silently struggling without the world knowing where Iraq on the map was. So that is the regime that we escaped from. And my mother, by the grace of God, had an intuition, heard God's voice to say, you must leave. And my mom had 8 children. And as a result, she started an action plan. And step by step, very carefully, meticulously, got us out of Iraq and into Jordan. where we waited 6 months with a visa. We went to Jordan because we couldn't just leave Iraq readily and say, oh, we're leaving. We don't like life here. You know, we left and we waited 6 months until our documentations, our legal process of the immigration process was done. And we traveled to the United States.
Well, and I wanted folks to hear that part of your story because it's important as it impacts your own worldview on this immigration issue. And having gone through what you went through and doing all of the hard work, what are your thoughts on the immigration issue now as you see folks slamming our southern border? Children are being stolen and trafficked mm-hmm. to appear like they're a part of a family to get into mm-hmm. the United States. There's just so much more there than I think we really understand. What are your thoughts, given your story, on what you're seeing in our country now with immigration?
My perspective is twofold. From the fact that I am a legal immigrant, by the way, I was a child. I was 9 years old when I was brought legally here by my parents, and so was my sister. There was eight of us, and we were all under the age of 20. And so my perspective is from two sides, one as a legal immigrant, but also as an American who was taken into this country and adopted into this American beautiful dream called America and this vision. And so it breaks my heart, of course, and I know very well when those that are running to the borders, what they're going through, and those that are genuinely seeking asylum, I feel for and I have great compassion because I was one that ran and my family to America. But at the same time, there is manipulation. As an immigrant who knows what comes behind us, we know that through the same door of immigration and the compassion that America has, also, there's a chance that there are many, many, as you just mentioned, traffickers, many, many smugglers, many terrorists coming in behind us through the same door, which is not right. The Bible calls us to be wise, as peaceful as doves, but also wise as a serpent. We must use wisdom. We are a country of laws. We are a country with borders, and we must. You know, those that are running to our borders for freedom and for security must, in fact, enjoy that security. When President Trump enforced the travel ban a year ago, I was all for it. And when I was interviewed, I said specifically, I escaped terrorism. Why would I want the same terrorists that I escaped to use the same door, the same immigration door, to follow me? I was attacked by my own people, by the people from the Middle East saying, you no longer feel for your people, and that is not the case. The case is that those that have escaped oppression can understand we come here. We come here for peace and quiet. And the sad part about what's going on at the border is those that are genuinely seeking asylum or coming to the border to be saved from a atrocious life that they're leaving behind right. are lost within this created controversy.
Mona, we're up against a hard break. Would you hold on and come back with us?
Of course.
All right, we're talking with Mona O'Shana, her story and her family's flee to America from the horrific atrocities of Hussein. Important testimony and story here for us on the immigration issue. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Make sure you go to TonyPerkins.com. All of this great content is there. And our double down on matching funds. You give 20, we get 40. We'll be here in just a moment.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with Washington Watch. We have our greatest opportunity to advance biblical values in our nation's capital and across America than ever before. But we urgently need your help to seize this moment. For 35 years, Family Research Council has stood for human dignity. We're standing up to the cultural bullies like Planned Parenthood and the SPLC that are pushing shocking sex ed programs into our schools that is nothing short of pornographic, and we know the harms that creates. Religious freedom is being restored, but much work remains. As our fiscal year is quickly coming to an end on June 30th, Friends of FRC have offered an amazing $800,000 matching challenge that will double the impact of your gift today. Help us complete our mission as we pursue a culture in which all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Visit TonyPerkins.com to donate today or call 800-225-4008. Again, that's 800-225-4008. May God bless you in your faithfulness.
If you think anti-Semitism is a thing of the past, think again. In the last 3 years, over 1,700 anti-Semitic incidents have occurred on college campuses across the country. Supposed anti-hate watchdog groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center have curiously turned a blind eye to this emerging campus threat, and this new anti-Semitism has flown under the radar. The perpetrators of the new anti-Semitism are primarily the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, or BDS, movement and the Students for Justice in Palestine. These two groups disguise their bigotry simply as opposition to the State of Israel's policies toward Palestinians. But a closer look at the language and tactics used by these groups reveals how Jewish college students are being attacked for believing that Israel should exist, or merely because they are Jews. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/antisemitism.
Hello, can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? We want to hear from you. Send us a question you may have about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line for a chance to be published on our blog. Thank you for standing with us.
Well, it's Friday. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Program is powered by the Family Research Council. And folks, I know you know this. You get news and information here that you don't hear anywhere else. You get newsmakers, policymakers, incredible stories, people making a huge difference. And you have an opportunity to keep this show rolling down the road here. Give us a call right now, 800-225-4008. 1-800-225-4008. How often can you give, and whatever gift you give will be absolutely doubled? And FRC is blessed. And we're in the trenches, on the hill. You see the work of the general and Tony Perkins and the staff at FRC. Influencing, informing our policymakers on important issues from a biblical perspective. And folks, there are just very few people that are doing that. 1-800-225-4008, or go to tonyperkins.com. And you hear the issues, you hear the stories on this show, and it's only possible because of listeners like you. Well, we're talking with Mona Oshana. She's an author, host of the Mona Kay Show, the Voice of Survivors radio program. Left Iraq. Her family was facing genocide under the heavy hand regime of Saddam Hussein, the butcher, as she called it. Mona, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Well, thanks for holding on. So you see, you see what's going on in the culture. We've talked about it today. We have been talking about for weeks now President Trump's push on immigration. The other side wants open borders. Just open flow of immigration here. Matter of fact, there's a woman that was elected, not elected, but she won her primary in New York State, an open socialist, and wants to get rid of ICE. So having shared your story with us and going through what your family went through, what would you like the listeners here that are listening? Frankly, the immigration issue, it's not easy. I think we all can admit that. Those of us that are Christians, we read scripture. And isn't it interesting how the left all of a sudden is getting religion? You know, they're quoting scripture that doesn't normally quote scripture on this. But our listeners are out in the trenches, and some of them may be listening here. They're getting beat up, and they need tools on this debate and this argument. What say you?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we can't have a part-time moral compass, is what I say.
And we must love our country, the United States of America, above and beyond everything and everyone. And everything else needs to come beneath that. I am a mother. My heart breaks to see children separated from their parents. As I said, I was 9 years old when I was brought to this country. But for people to want to shame us, or all of a sudden want to Google a few verses from the Bible that they know that they can throw at Christians to shame us, or to put us in our place, or to hold us accountable, to say that you need to have compassion, as if compassion is something new. And this is not to say that I'm holier than thou to have an attitude of that. But, you know, our moral compass doesn't work out of pressure from society. It comes from our convictions. And in my case, it comes from the greatest teachers that I've ever had, which were my mother and my father. This is why my convictions don't work part-time. I'm not a part-time humanitarian. My moral compass doesn't work selectively, as I'm seeing the selective shock of all of a sudden seeing children in cages. It's not a matter of seeing the kids in cages. It's a matter of the selective selective outrage to progress a certain agenda, because we want to blame one person, one man, who happens to be at the wheel right now, which is pointing fingers at one man, which is Donald J. Trump, at this point, when we know this has been an ongoing problem, not since 2014, not since the last four or five presidents, but for ages. When I came to this country, it was a problem in 1977. So it continues to be. We must unite rather than divide. This divisiveness that is this rhetoric that is dividing our country is not going to solve the problem. But as Christians, we must stand fast, because it is for such a time as this that we know we are prepared with the Word of God. We are armed with the Word of God, that we are not going to be swayed by society to tell us when to have compassion and when not. I raise my voice today, not as a result of society, but as a result of the fact that I survived six genocides in my family. There's been six genocides to go back six generations in my family. Today I raise my voice. I'm actually compassionate towards who really need to be saved in asylum. But today this created chaos is wiping those people out, and actually losing the people. We are losing the genuine people that need to come into this country and enjoy all of America has to offer. With what? So that a political party can advance their agenda? We must be awakened. We must stay vigilant as we the people, because if we don't, our entire system will be lost. Why are people running to the borders? Because they know what's on the side of the border. They love America more than some of us do in this country. So we must realize all that we have to lose if we don't reform our immigration system.
Well, thank you so much. God bless you. We appreciate you being on Washington Watch, Mona, and we've got all this information on TonyPerkins.com about who you are and what you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me. What a wonderful opportunity.
All right. God bless you. God bless you. Bravo. That was Mona O'Shaughnessy. Great to hear her testimony. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. I'm curious, if you were Sarah Huckabee Sanders at the Red Hen restaurant there in Virginia, and they asked you to leave because of your beliefs or who you support, would you get up and leave, or would you stay, and would you make them force you to drag you out? I'd be real curious about that. Also, let's just talk about the 4th of July a little bit. How are you going to celebrate? We're a few days out yet, and but are you going to get a few days off? I'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And how do you instill the ideals of our Declaration of Independence in your family and your kids? You know, a lot of folks just get together for July 4th and do fireworks, and none of the patriotic ideals are really talked about. But I'm curious, just your thoughts on a couple of these ideas that we've talked about here today, and how are you dealing with the folks in your network that don't agree with your worldview, that use Scripture to push back on you when you know they haven't opened the Bible or looked at Scripture, but they just use it to try to win an argument or to use scripture. I don't know about you. It just irks me when I know somebody isn't in church, not even really a believer, but they'll use scripture and they'll say, well, what would Jesus do? And that whole thing, when they know you are a conservative, a Bible-believing Christian, but they use scripture to push back on you. And then how many of you are just kind of dumbfounded there? And you don't know how to push back, because we tend to be nice on the conservative side, actually. We tend to be nice and pleasant and civil. And that's one thing about Donald Trump. He is a street fighter, and he goes to the mat. And I think a lot of us, a lot of folks cheer him on, but get uncomfortable with that method and that process. And how do you engage in debates and to try to defend positions from the Bible? Let's go to David in Tulsa. Hey, David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Just real quick, before I should lose you, I'm driving down the country here. You mentioned in your first story about the Civil War talk and so forth, and possibly in 10 to 15 years. I can't hardly imagine how things would be in the world in a year if things continue the way they are, let alone 10 or 15 years.
Right.
And that was all. And also regarding the black issue, I go to a church that's about 80-90% white. I'm Mexican-American myself, but, you know, so that's about 10% black. And I see what you're talking about, or I see what's happened, you know, what can happen, and the separation that can go on. Makes me wonder what keeps those black people going to our church when, you know, it doesn't seem like they're brought in as closely as maybe they could be.
Right.
That was all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. And I tell my wife quite a bit, I guess we'll only see a truly desegregated congregation of worship when we get to heaven. And I hope that's not true. Michael in Arkansas. Hey, Michael, how are you doing? Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm hearing the conversation about what's going on in the country, and I'm a firm believer in the border. And I'm first generation in this country in my family on my mom's side, you know, and she came in the right way in this country, you know, legally.
Right.
And I'm concerned about that. But, you know, the other concern is I'm concerned about it seems like the agenda of the one party has forgot to represent the people. Instead, they've got an agenda that they want to change this country into something that it was never intended to be.
Mm-hmm. Good point, Michael. Go ahead.
That's the reason I wanted to make this comment, because I think we need to start thinking about what's really going on behind the scenes. And we have to stay on our knees and pray and ask, you know, expect God to give us the strength that we need to change it. Keep
Amen.
It where it was.
Amen, Michael. Thank you for calling. Appreciate you calling Washington Watch. Got a lot of calls today. Heather, let's go to Heather in Virginia. Hi, Heather. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you. I was just wondering, I have lots of friends, friends from Mexico or African-American friends, and they are believers, but I noticed there definitely is two sets of information going around about the immigration thing, and I was wondering if there was a place where I could find, like, concrete information, because I see them posting things, like, on social media that this, like, children in cages is something that is
right.
new with this administration, and I'm just wondering, where can I find information that I can show in a concrete way that that might be persuasive to people that this is not new, and that trying to pin it on the current administration is just part of an agenda?
Well, you can go to TonyPerkins.com. I know we have several different blogs there and stories there online that will give you helpful information. You can go Google, like, Frank Gaffney. He's been on this show a few times. He has spoken out on this issue, and the Center of Immigration Studies has a number of really helpful tools that I think you would find helpful as you try to give right information and not just information that's charged by emotion. Heather, thank you for calling. Let's go to George in Mississippi. Hey, George.
Good evening. Just a quick answer to your question, what I would do if the Little Red Hen restaurant asked me to leave. I would respect the property rights of the owner, and I would absolutely get up and walk out and honor her authority as the owner of the property, just as if I were going to rent an apartment to shack up with my girlfriend, and the landlord said, no, I will only rent my apartment to a married couple. I would turn around and say, I honor your authority over your property. And if I were, you know, going to schedule a wedding with my same-sex partner, and the florist refused to cater my wedding with her flowers, I would turn around and say, thank you. I respect your privileges as a business owner to serve who you want to serve.
Right. Very good insights, George. Appreciate you bringing those to us here on Washington Watch on this Friday. Real quick, let's go to Hunter in Texas. Hey, Hunter.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. You asked for people to call about their 4th of July plans. I know it kind of falls in the middle of the week next week, but my family, for well over 125 years, has their family reunion on the 4th of July. It's actually been attended by governors of the state of Texas before, back in the early days of our state. The problem is that I don't know any of those people because, unfortunately, divorce sometimes has consequences for which most people cannot possibly imagine will happen many years down the road, and I'm 45 now. But I want to tell you something, and this is what I'm going to be celebrating right now about our country, that through the power of social media, which can be good and bad, I was able to connect with some of these family members. The family members that I have the namesake for, they're not saved. I've tried witnessing to them, and I just give them up into God's hands. But I got to tell you, this is a praise report for this coming Shabbat, and that is, reached out to them a few months ago. I found out that they are all staunch believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. Literally, it just hit me right at the soul. So what will I celebrate on July 4th? I'll celebrate many things about our country's independence, and one of those is to thank God for our country that I can peaceably assemble with who I want to, and that's my family. I can't think of a better way to celebrate independence than that.
Well, Hunter, thank you. Shabbat shalom, and Jesus reigns, Yeshua reigns. Thank you so much, folks. We are at the end of our show. Give us a call right now, 1-800-225-4008. Your gift will be matched, absolutely. And folks, I share with you now from Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. And friends, if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, we'll see you Monday. God bless.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.